Well, singing "O Come, Let Us Adore Him," I was starting to think of Christmas, and so I was thrown off a little bit, but it was still a great song to sing. Tristan, where are you? Thank you for even introducing and reminding us that even those songs can be sung to the glory of God when it's nice and warm out. One of the things that we've been going through, if you're new here this morning, is we've been going through a series on being shepherded by God. And so, welcome. And yes, we've been doing Psalm 23, and we are going to be doing that all summer. And so, where we are in the next phase of the journey is actually a journey. So, to kind of introduce this, one of the things that I don't know how many of you like getting out into the mountains. I love getting out in the mountains and hiking, mountain biking, and all of those different things. And I'll never forget the first time I was introduced to mountain biking. I used to have the Walmart mountain bike, and it was great for the time. But one of my friends was like, "Hey, there's this adventure race going on down in Texas. You should come do it with me." So we start riding together, and eventually he's like, "I think you need a nicer bike." And I'm like, "Come on, you don't like my Huffy? What's going on?" And so finally I go over, I get a new bike, and he's like, "These are the specs that you need." So we go down to Denver, we get this nice new bike, and he's like, "Oh, dude, you so need clipless pedals." For those of you that don't know what a clipless pedal is, you have a special shoe that locks you into, it's a cleat that locks you into the pedal. So you can't just lift your foot off the pedal when you're about to bail on a bike. And so he was like, "You're going to so want these because there's so much power when you're actually, you know, riding. You can get so much better grip, and you're not going to come off of the pedals." And so I'm like, "Okay, that's cool." So we go down to Denver and we buy this bike, and he's like, "Okay, we're going to go out and ride on Red Rocks Trail. It's going to be so much fun." So we go out on this trail and I'm riding along. And one of the things that he told me is, "Listen, when you're up mountain biking," because my idea of mountain biking was going out on the streets out here. He was like, "When you're mountain biking, you just have to know wherever you want your front tire to go, look there." And I was like, "Sounds simple." So we get up and we're cruising around on the path, and next thing you know, we come to this hairy, hairy stuff. I mean, there's rocks everywhere, boulders, and I'm like, real carefully, I'm like shaking, going through this whole thing, and I make it through every single part of it, and I'm like, "Woohoo!" I'm just like blown away, and my friend's like, you know, powering on in front of me. He's miles ahead. Well, all of a sudden, what catches my eye is this little rock, about that big probably. And I come to this rock and I'm like kind of wobbling still, and I hit this rock and I'm like, "Oh man, oh man, oh man," boom. And I start falling over, only to find myself landing right in a cactus. I get up and start to remove all these different quills as people are going by. "Do you need any help, man?" And I'm like, "I don't know that you can offer me the help that I need." I had quills everywhere. But one of the things that we're going to be talking about is this aspect. I want you to think through traveling on a path and traveling on a trail. And that's where David is in this portion. He's going to be talking about, "He leads me in paths of righteousness." And we're going to talk about this whole idea of what he's trying to get across. "He leads me in these paths of righteousness for his name's sake." And so I want you to be thinking about a journey like that, a journey going down a well-beaten path, a trail. Because that's kind of this concept that we'll be building this morning. And we're going to be talking about what's David trying to get across for us. Obviously, he wants us to go down this path, and we're being led down it. But what is he after? What is he trying to accomplish with this? What's the significance for us in being not only an individual? He's writing this very personally, but this is a song that would have been sung encouraging other people to sing this and say, "He leads me." And having other people join in the throng in this song and meditative thought. So that's kind of what I want us to think about, is this aspect of a trail. And what we're going to do is we're going to stand and we'll read together. I think, I can't remember if last week, did we read through it last week together, all together? Now let's do it again. That's always fun. So go ahead and stand with me. We're going to read through Psalm 23. It's a short psalm. And follow along as we go. So, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, and your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Go ahead and be seated. So just to kind of catch us up, if you're new to where we are, we haven't gone too many verses, so you're not too far behind, but David is singing about this next aspect that he appreciates about his shepherd. This whole psalm is really just one big celebration of who the Lord is in David's life. He's celebrating him not just as our shepherd. He's saying, this is something that I've personally experienced with my shepherd, with the Lord, and how he leads me. And he's starting to talk about these various different things that he so appreciates about his shepherd and who he is and what he does in his life. He says so much about how much he appreciates this that he says he is lacking in nothing. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I don't lack anything with this shepherd. And he's satisfied with how he can make him lie down and rest. And that reminded us the fact that our shepherd knows the sheep. He knows how to make us lie down. Sheep, it's not something that they naturally do. If there are things that are bothering them, they won't lie down. But our shepherd knows how to lead us in such a way that he can make us rest and lie down. Tristan was just talking about that he makes me lie down. And he's also at rest with the skill and knowledge of the shepherd. Even through though the journey is tough and there might be places that they're going through that are they're almost deserty and no water or anything, he trusts in his faithful guide. And because he brings him to a resting place where there's abundant water, he leads me to still waters. And he changes his life. That was the thing that we talked about this last week, that he restores my soul. The big picture of what we're getting across is David saying, listen, he changes me and brings me into a more desirable place and a more desirable state. And I love this fact about my shepherd, that he changes me radically. I think it's interesting to actually reflect and back up and go, do you think it's interesting that he actually talked about rest being the first thing that he appreciates about his shepherd? He's resting in who God is and what he does and how he leads and how he shepherds. And then the next thing that he gets into is, man, he's changing me. So there's not activity that's happening. There's this rest and trust in who the shepherd is. And then it brings him to this place that, man, he is changing me radically. He's restoring me, bringing me into this new person. And then we come to this next reality where he says he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So the thing that we're going to focus on is he's celebrating who leads him, how he leads him, and why he leads him. And we want to think about these things because we want to understand, what does he mean? What is he trying to get across with this idea that he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake? So first, if we kind of get cut to the chase a little bit, who's leading him? I want us to remember that this is, he mentions that the Lord is my shepherd. He mentions Yahweh. When we talked about Yahweh, this was the one that was revealed in the Old Testament in Exodus, that I am going to be this one who I am who I am. I will be what I will be. Whatever situation that you run into, I am going to be the solution for that. And David's reflecting on this fact that that's my shepherd. And where is the shepherd? If we look at the picture and the image behind me, it's an image of sheep. Where are sheep in relation to the shepherd? They're following him. See, some of us might be thinking of a shepherd, and we might be thinking of how God leads us as he's in behind us, and he's got a big whip and just cracking the whip over our heads, and we're just running for dear life and trying to move. Or some of us might think of God as an absent shepherd, where he's not really there, and we're just kind of each going our own way, and we're like, man, I have no clue where I'm going. I'm just going this way, going that way. But David, what he's trying to communicate his confident trust in is he's saying, listen, he leads me. The shepherd is out in front. He's not cracking a whip behind me. I'm following him. I'm listening to his voice. I'm postured in a place where I'm attentive to when the shepherd calls out, I'm going to move it, and I'm going to follow him. And I love this shepherd. He cares for me. And so the shepherd is the one who is leading. He's out in front. And we need to savor this picture in our head. David is expressing life with the Lord as his shepherd who's in front leading him. He's not in the back. He's confidently leading and knowing his sheep will hear his voice as he moves things forward. So David expresses this reality that he leads me. And he's sharing this lesson he's learned under good and gracious care of a shepherd who strengthened David's heart. He's skillfully leading him. But the next question that I'd ask to kind of move us forward in thinking about this passage before we kind of make some observations is this: how does he lead David? It mentions that he's the one out in front, but how does he lead him? Well, he leads me in paths of righteousness. And I love this picture that David's building. See, one of the things that is that we're kind of notorious for is we're notorious for establishing paths and patterns in our lives. I don't know if you've ever noticed that even in your own life. But one of the things that even as I'm getting ready to prep for the sermon and thinking through this week, one of the things that I can do on a regular basis, I can pray for each and every one of you because I usually know where you sit. I usually know that there's a certain group that sits over here. And so sometimes I'll even come in here and I'll turn on the lights and I'll be standing in here. So if you ever walk in here and you see me making a fool of myself, I'm praying. And so you can laugh all you want. But I'm praying through and I'm looking out in the audience and I know that the Beckers usually sit right over here. And I know people and where you usually sit. We have patterns that we establish in our life. And even some of those, like if you think through in the morning, what's your usually pattern of getting up and getting out of bed? Mine, I get up and the first thing that I'm making is coffee, right? So there's a reason that we're having the coffee ministry, dang it. It's something that we need to open the eyes in the morning. You have routines and we have routines that are in our life. And what David is mentioning is that this shepherd is leading us in a path. And that word path here refers to a rutted and beaten down path, kind of like the one behind me. This week over in Scotts Bluff, they're celebrating Oregon Trail Days. This is Oregon Trail right near Guernsey. And so over many, many different wagons that are traveling down this path, what happens? It beat down the rock where you can actually see how far it came down and formed this path right through that thing. So when we think through of the shepherd, he's leading them down a beaten path. And sometimes I think what is so easy for us is if you're kind of like me, I like change. And I hate getting stuck in a rut. But sometimes there's ruts that are really good in our life. When I was mountain biking and I looked at the rock, I much would have rather stayed in the rut. Trust me. Cactus are no fun. I was picking those things out for weeks. And what it mentions about this shepherd that David is looking at is he's going, listen, he leads me in paths of righteousness. One scholar put it this way when referring to this word. He comments that this word refers to not just a path even, but he's trying to actually use a figure of speech. And what's the figure of speech that he's getting at? This is actually verbal teaching as a figurative extension of a well-worn path. So there's this instruction that as God is leading me, there's this instruction that he's giving in my life. Maybe to put it in other words is this path is used to describe instruction that determines the course of one's life. That the Lord is my shepherd and he's leading me in paths. He has this instruction that is wearing these ruts in my life that are going to be something that help me move forward and carry on. Ones that are actually ones that I should stay on. Now, David's primary focus is that by nature of who God is, he's the one providing instruction that shapes and colors and textures life. Well, what should that make us aware of? He says, he leads me in these paths. What should that remind you and I of? If he's doing this, what's our part in this whole thing? One, it's just an awareness of what God is doing. This helps me see where he's working and what God's doing so that I can actually be involved in what he's trying to do in my life. What are you doing right now, God? What are you trying to work on in my life? What was David expressing? What are you doing constantly in my life? You're leading me in paths of righteousness. So how do I get involved? I look for those paths. And I try to understand where are they. And I line myself with those paths and I walk in those. And I don't turn to a right, to the left. And so there's just an awareness of what God's doing in my life. Well, we can certainly concede that there are many paths that call for our attention and command our allegiance. Would you agree with me on that? So many different paths that come along and they call for me to go, hey, this is a path that I think you need to go down. Hey, this is a path that I think you need to go down. While David is just focusing on, listen, what the Lord does is he leads me down one path. He's not really referring to the fact that there are any other alternatives. But I think what you and I can at least admit is a problem is so many times there are things that are pulling at my heart to go down another path other than the one before me. And we need to understand that aspect of who we are. See, one of the things that we realize about this is even just listening to a Proverbs 4, and I'm going to read a portion of Proverbs 4, and what I want you to do is I want you to listen for the following. I want you to listen for what's the primary concern of the writer. You're going to hear about paths again. And I want you to listen for those paths. And there's things that are going to be pulling the writer's heart to go down a path. Listen for that. So what are we listening for? What's the primary concern? What is the writer trying to get across? And what draw or promise do these promise have that we should follow them? There's something that's alluring us to walk down a certain path. See if you can relate to any of these. Because he describes this aspect of how this teaching and these things can impact our life. Solomon says this in Proverbs 4, 10 through 27. Hear, my son, and accept my words, that the years of your life may be many. I have taught you the way of wisdom. I have led you in the paths of uprightness. That word path is that same word that we're looking at, paths of uprightness. When you walk, your step will not be hampered. If you run, you will not stumble. Keep hold of instruction. Do not let her go. Guard her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked. Do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Don't go on it. Do not go on it. Turn away from it. Pass on. For they cannot sleep unless they have done wrong. They are robbed of sleep unless they have made someone stumble. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn. It shines brighter and brighter until full day. The way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They don't know over what they stumble. My son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and healing to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Put away crooked speech and devious talk from you. Let your eyes look directly forward, your gaze be straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet, then all of your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. If you listen to that, the Proverbs even point out this reality that there are paths in their life. And sometimes they're really well worn. And what sometimes turns us to actually turn down those paths? Because if we're honest, I'm not always being led down a path of righteousness. Sometimes I'm actually going down the opposite direction. I'm dovetailing down into the ditch, and I'm going all different ways. And even I felt a pull on my heart this week to do the same thing. Just pulling on my heart to go down paths. And why do we go down those paths? Sometimes I think those paths are familiar. We're familiar with that path. And you know what? It's so much more comfortable to go down a path that I've known rather than going down a path that maybe I don't know how this is all going to work. So sometimes there's a comfortability to it. And sometimes I turn down a path because, man, you know what? It looks like it's going to be easier. Man, I look at one path and I go, man, it looks like there's rocks and all sorts of stuff, but I don't know what's around the bend. Maybe it levels out and it's actually a great path to take, but there's just a little bit of difficulty to get up over the hump. And so I turn down these paths, and they're paths that when I go down maybe an easy path, all of a sudden it comes to a precipice and I careen over it. And see, what David is looking at is he's going, listen, my shepherd, who he is and what he does in my life is he leads me down these paths, these well-rutted paths that they're sure and they're stable. And I go down these paths, oh man, and he leads me in those. And I love it. And so he's talking about just how great God is and how he leads him down that way. Well, why does he lead him down that? And he expresses that shortly after it. He leads me down in paths of righteousness. Why? for his name's sake. Well, what does that even mean? What does his name's sake mean? See, this is all about God's reputation. Why is he leading me down this path of righteousness? It's for his reputation, for his fame, for his glory. He actually wants to lead me down this path. He's wanting to lead David down a path so that God gets greater glory in and through David's life. Do you even kind of notice that when we think about this aspect of his name's sake, that it's not even just something that God is the only one getting the glory? Do you realize that for his name's sake is also for the betterment of you and I? That when we actually walk in that path of righteousness for his name's sake, he actually has our best good intended for us. So think about this one moment and go back on this with me. Well, what is good for his name is also good for us. David is satisfied by the leading of his shepherd to the point he says, I lack nothing. I'm able to rest as I'm led down this path. He changes me as I go down this path. It's a good path. We go back and look at the Proverbs 4 that I read to you, and it's talking about these different paths, and we could go back and look and see in Proverbs 4, 22 through 23, for they are your life. When I go down these right paths, they are your life. They are your life. And what else does he say? Those who find them and healing to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. What's Solomon concerned about for his son when he's giving these instructions about going down these right paths? It isn't just about something that I can go, well, I'm doing better than, you know, Joe over here. It's not at all what he's after. What he's after is actually helping us live the life that God intended us to live. That's where satisfaction, that's where joy, that's where life is really happening. And he's trying to point us to go down those roads. Well, there are numerous takeaways that we could make this morning. But I'd like to kind of conclude us and bring us back in on what is David trying to get across. So I'm hoping by an illustration this will make sense. So is Gabriel still in here, or did he dovetail out? Hey, come on up. Let's give him a hand. He's going to help me with something really important this morning. Hey, oh man, a little high five, a little knuckle. You ready for this? You know what you're doing, right? All right, let's break out your tools, okay? See, here's what I think a lot of times life is like, and we're going to give a little quick illustration here. I got some nice tools here. You know what this is, right? What is this guy? Yeah, you're good. Yep, it's an electric saw. We are handing electric saws to kids here today, folks. So I might actually need, let's see here. Who can I get from the audience? Lane, come on up here. Come on up here. All I need you to do is watch out for the saw and hold on to this for him, okay? So here's what I'm going to ask him to do. Come on around back here so people can see. And you can kind of hold that still for him. And here's what I'm going to have you do. This is a saw, right? So what I want you to do with this bad boy is I want you to saw off the end of this, okay? There you go. Go for it. Go for it. That's all right. Just saw it. Can you saw? It's kind of difficult, isn't it? Do you like the saw like that? It's a little bit tough, isn't it? He's making progress, though, right? He's actually going to get it. Yeah, give him a hand there. He's working hard. He's going at it. I like it. Okay, stop right there. You're doing great, but I think we should probably give you something. There's something missing, don't you think? All right. So let's attach this. Now, something that I need you to know. As soon as you pull on the trigger, that baby's going to go. Okay? So I'm going to hold on here with you. Because while mom is a nurse, I value toes. Go ahead. Just power on that thing all the way down. All the way up. Go for it. All the way up. Here, pull it back a little bit. There you go. There you go. Right here. Just for fun, do you want to go through it too? You're up here. Come on. Just for fun. All right.
Thank you.
Go ahead and give him a hand. Go ahead and head down. Thanks so much, guys. Okay. So was I actually just trying to get power tools in here to have fun? Yes. But there was a point. David says he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And here's the reality for each and every one of us that I think is so important for us. David is extolling Yahweh. He's saying, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I won't lack a thing with him. And he leads me, and I'm so satisfied. He leads me to rest. He changes me. And then he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. What is God after? What is he trying to do in your life right now? What is he trying to do in our life? And I talked a little bit about this last week. See, it says that he's trying to lead me in these ruts. Not so that we're stuck in a rut and we're not moving, but so I move. And I'm actually living life as he actually intended me. See, so much of life, what I think is like, is we are like this saw. We are made wonderfully. We're made with purpose. We're made uniquely by God to do something. But see, this tool in and of itself, I can try to just sit there and saw away, but it's nothing unless it's actually connected to the source. And what David is expressing is he's saying, listen, the Lord is my shepherd. When I connect to my shepherd, he actually leads me in these paths. And then all of a sudden, I'm actually able to do what he's called me to do. Why? For his name's sake. I'm actually able to live the life that he wants me to live as he leads me and as he moves in my life. And I trust this shepherd implicitly. Is it hard? Absolutely. Sometimes there's really difficult and dark places that he's going to take me through. We can even look, and he's going to be talking about that in the next portion, saying, listen, I'm going to go through some valleys in life that are fear, that cause fear. And there he's specifically focusing on the fact that God is with him. But here he's saying, listen, he shows me how to live life as it's truly meant to be lived. But so often what happens is I would much rather try to disconnect myself from the source and try to live on my own. Trying to saw. And this thing was created for a purpose. It was created to have this thing attached into it. So it was connected to a power source and saw through things. Make fun noises. Does that make sense? So now when we think through this, I want to talk through what are takeaways that we need to get from this. Listen, first, foremost, God is leading. He's in the lead. David expresses that. He knows that. Are we listening? Are we responding accordingly? Am I attentive to the ears of are my ears pricked for the shepherd? When he calls, when he says something, I'm ready to pick my head up. If you were here when we talked about that the sheep know the shepherd's voice, man, when the shepherd called out, what did that one sheep do? Man, it picked its head up real quick, focusing right on the shepherd and was ready to start moving. Is that us? Are we listening and responding? Well, what was the main purpose that you and I were made for? I said we're a lot like this. We're made for a purpose. Westminster Catechism actually defines this primary purpose that we are made for. What's the purpose of us? Our chief end, our main purpose in life is to glorify God. That's what we were designed for. I don't care who you are. If you are near to God, far from God, don't know who God is, you were created to glorify God. That's your purpose. That's your purpose in life. And you're created to enjoy him. Delight in him. Each and every one of us were made for that. And David is getting back to the heart of that. He's saying, listen, my shepherd leads me back to that. To where I actually can do what I was designed to do and glorify him. Do what I was designed to do. Enjoy him. Live life to the fullest. As he intended for me to live. But here's the reality that David gets at. How do I get there? Well, God is leading. I need a leader. So David is saying, the Lord is my shepherd and he leads me in that path. I have to let him lead. I have to let him lead. I have to surrender to that leadership. I need to follow and learn to follow. See, Paul would also even say, whatever I eat, whether I sleep, whether I drink, whatever I do, even drinking coffee, I do it to the glory of God. whatever I'm doing, that's what my purpose is. And David's saying, he's leading me towards that. And I love that about my shepherd. I'm listening to his voice because I want to enjoy life as he designed me to and intended me to. And he's listening attentively. Well, why should he listen? Well, what David would know is God has a demonstrated track record. See, what he's asking us to do when he's saying he's leading me down these paths, I'm not looking at you and just saying, hey, I hope you have blind faith that this is the way God's wanting you to go. See, some people kind of throw that out about Christians. There's just a blind faith. Actually, no. Our faith is rooted and grounded in history. That's one of the reasons that I come back to this. And it's so important that I come back to this. I can discover, and David could discover, what God is like and why is it that he could trust God. Well, he would go back and understand, wait a minute, how did you lead the Israelites when you were bringing them out of slavery? Man, you were faithful. You brought them. You had promised you were going to take them to a place, and you did it. I can trust you. I can trust you implicitly. This isn't me going, I'm going to have faith in faith. This is me looking at what you're like throughout history and going, I can buy into that. I can bank my life on that. And I can live confidently. And David's saying, he leads me in that. So David knew that God could deliver on promises. How? He had done it over and over and over and all throughout Scripture. And the kings were to immerse their life in the Word of God so that they knew what God was like and what he expected of them. Why? Not just so that they were better than everybody else. Not just so they were like, well, I know more than other people. It was so that they could live life as God intended them to the fullest. Well, I'll be honest. The last aspect that I'll hit on is this. Why is it so important that he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake? If you and I are honest with one another this morning, which we should be able to be that here, but so often it's so hard to do that with one another. So often I come in here and I wear a mask of really the paths that my heart is going in a week. And if you really knew where my heart was going in a week, or if I knew where your heart was going in a week, if we're honest, one of the main reasons that David shares this is he leads me in this. Why is it so important that I get this? One of the things that we know from Scripture so clearly is that what are sheep prone to? And there's a great hymn that actually talks about this. Come thou fount. Prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. That writer had a heart connection level, knowing, man, my heart is so prone to wander and so prone to go down paths that I'm not supposed to give in to emotions, feelings, thoughts, actions that I'm not supposed to do. That's my heart, and I hate it about my life. Why do I need this person to lead me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake? Because I'm prone to go the other direction. That's part of my DNA. And I need someone to lead me. I need help going down the right way. I need instruction on where that path is so I don't mistake it from maybe an easier path that looks good but leads to destruction. What paths command your allegiance and call for your attention? We read through Proverbs 4. Can you relate to that? Some paths that were calling the reader's attention to go down, but did we see where they led? And some paths that were actually to life. And he's going, my son, listen to my instruction. Hold on to it. What can actually help us in this whole process? And it's actually found right there in Scripture. What did he say? What did he say in Proverbs that could actually help us in going? And it actually relates back to my biking illustration. Let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze straight before you. I fix my eyes on where I'm supposed to go. Why? He talks about it in the next one. Ponder your path, then all your ways will be sure. Don't swerve to the right or the left. Turn your foot away from evil. It's so that I walk down this path that's set before me that God has, and he goes, this is what the good path is for your life. I know what's best for you. I made you. So we think this about this. My heart is prone to wander. Your heart. I'm sure you could think through ways that your heart is prone to wander. But here's the reality that's so encouraging about this aspect. Do you realize that for those of us that have placed our faith in Christ Jesus, that what Ephesians 2:10 says, that when I place my faith in Christ alone, that he forgave me of my sins, and sometimes I fall short of this, but I go back to the gospel and remember, wait a minute, I know I messed up, God, but your grace is sufficient. You covered that sin by dying on the cross for me. I am a workmanship made in you by what you did. What? For what? We are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works that he prepared beforehand. So that what? We'd walk in them. Why? For his name's sake. What is God after in our lives this morning? Our chief end is to glorify God, enjoy him forever. And what does David say? The Lord is my shepherd. He leads me. Are you allowing him to lead you this morning? In paths of righteousness, are you on the right path? Have you found that right rut that I'm supposed to be walking in? And do I understand the motive of that? It's for his name's sake. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for who you are. Thank you for leading us in paths of righteousness for your name's sake. God, we want you to get glory in our life. The reality is so often, God, I can relate with what Isaiah says, what Peter says, that we're like sheep. We go astray, each one to our own way. And God, that just reminds me so much that we needed Jesus to die on the cross for us. God, would we not just beat ourselves over the head about mistakes? Would we run to you, Jesus? Would we fix our gaze on Jesus? Would we trust in your righteousness, not in our own righteousness? Would you do a work in us, lead us, so that we can live life for your name's sake? Your name, amen.